If you don't appreciate things till you're spinning down the highway, amen. Thing of help. Not saying he didn't, I'm just saying sometimes it's like that.
Yeah, right.
A lot of things you learn to appreciate with time and experience, you know. So, Romans chapter 1 this morning. I believe the Lord's done with the Psalm study. I was going to finish that thing out, but kind of feel like if I did, I'd be making a mess. The Lord's done with something. He's done with something. I think it was good. I hope it was a help.
Amen.
I hope it kind of helps you with your understanding of it and your desire for it. It's just a book of Psalms, just a great thing, just helping your everyday life. But I've been thinking about this for a while. Actually, Brother Caden had said something a year or so ago, mentioned about this, and just been thinking about it, pondering on it. And what we're going to do is, the Lord willing, if he don't come back or take me home or change his mind, we're going to take some of these chapters in the book of Romans and just talk about faith. First 8 chapters in the book of Romans, that is, I don't know if premier would be the word, but salvation by grace through faith. If you want to teach someone and show them salvation by grace through faith, this is where you take them, right? The book of Galatians teaches that you are kept by grace through that faith, right? But we're going to take Romans, the first 8 chapters. I believe I'm going to be able to do a lesson per chapter. And they kind of build on themselves. They kind of build on themselves. Your salvation by grace through faith and things that come into your life when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Many people believe, hey, I'm saved, hallelujah, let's sit down, let's wait it out. When you get saved, that's not the end.
No way.
That's the beginning.
That's right.
Up until that point, everything you did was in your own strength, by your own will. And some of the things may have been moral, they may have been good, but you know what? But after salvation is when you get the power. It's when you get wisdom. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. So when you begin to fear God and you trust Jesus Christ for your salvation, you get saved, that's when these things come into your life. Sanctification, justification, victory. Everybody wants victory in their life, right? Who wants to get beat? Nobody wants to get beat. But victory comes after you get saved. Up to that point, according to the Bible, you're a child of wrath. You're a child of the devil. Well, you can't talk about my baby like that. Child of the devil. You're mean. But we're going to begin in Romans chapter number 1. We're going to read the whole chapter. The title of the lesson is The Gospel by Faith. Look at Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1. Actually, we're not going to read the whole chapter. We're going to read down through about 17. We're going to let all them devils just have their self this morning. Look at verse number 1. Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated into the gospel of God. Now that throws some people. The gospel of God. And it shouldn't.
No.
Gospel of God. Gospel of Christ. Gospel of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is God. Amen.
Yeah.
But that throws some people. We're going to talk about that a little bit. Look at verse 2. Which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. What is the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ for our sins according to the Scripture. Verse 5, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. For I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit and the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by any means now at length I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, to the end ye may be established. That is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Now I would not have you ignorant. When Paul says, I will not have you ignorant, you can write it down in the book, somebody's ignorant.
Yeah.
And he's correcting that thing.
That's right.
Says, now I will not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was led hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So, as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Hallelujah. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith.
Amen.
The gospel by faith. Brother Johnson, you pray for us, brother.
Thank you for your goodness. Lord,
thank you, Lord.
For this opportunity this morning, Lord, to be in church.
We love you, Lord.
Lord, to be in Sunday school. Pray, God, that you'd just in our hearts and our minds.
Help us, Lord.
God, that you'd help us to be attentive to your words.
Oh, Lord, Lord God,
God,
we love you.
God, that we'd take what we get here this morning
thank
and we'd
Lord.
Apply it to our lives. Lord, that we could go out and be better servants for you. We just thank you and praise you for your goodness. It's in the Lord Jesus Christ's name that we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
By verse number one, he speaks about the gospel of God. And there's some people who look at that and they just get confused and they don't understand and they don't, maybe don't know. But it's the same gospel that's in verse number 16.
Right.
For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It's the exact same gospel. Now in your Bible, in this King James Bible that you hold in your lap, there are 10 gospels. There's 10 of them. Don't look at me like I got two heads. There's 10 gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. That's 4 gospel accounts, right? Then you have the gospel of the kingdom. That's what Jesus came and preached. The kingdom, when he is going to rule and reign here on this earth. And people see those things and they feel like they have to be good to your neighbor. You should be good to your neighbor. But you can be good to your neighbor and die without being born again and go to hell. That's kingdom. You have the everlasting gospel. Preaching the book of Revelation.
Right.
An angel's going to stand and preach that everlasting gospel unto the whole world. You have the gospel unto Abraham. That's in the book of Galatians. You have the gospel of peace. That deals with the peace that's going to be during the millennial reign. That 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ on this earth. People want peace, peace, peace. There's not going to be any peace until Jesus Christ comes back and sets up peace. Does that mean we shouldn't try? No. We should try to get along. As much as lieth in us, we should have peace with people, right? But as long as there's men, there's going to be wicked men. They're going to hate God and go against what this Bible says. And you cannot have peace with men that hate God. So there's 10 Gospels, but we are going to focus this morning on the Gospel of Grace. There's a church in Maxton. It's called Gospel of Grace Independent Baptist Church. You find that in Acts chapter 20, verse number 24. This Gospel of Grace, this Gospel of God, this Gospel of Jesus Christ, and Gospel means good news. The best news you have ever heard in your life, I don't care who you are, is that Jesus Christ hung on a cross and shed his blood and died and rose again the third day that you might be saved. Somebody may call you today and say, friend, you run the lottery. Woo, I hope not, because the wind, you got to be playing it, I guess, right? Leave that mess alone. But the best news you've ever heard is the gospel. We're going to focus on that gospel because in this dispensation, this church age, we call it.
Yep.
That's the only gospel to save your soul. There is only one way for a man or a woman or a child to get to heaven as we sit right here right now this morning, you must believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's it. There's no other way. You hear all kind of things that people try to mix works into their salvation. Listen to me. You should have good works. If you, the Bible says, let him that nameth the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. Right? If you are saved, leave that junk alone. You have no business taking part in sinful things, sinful activities. But it's not your salvation. Salvation is in a man, the man Jesus Christ, placing your faith in him. The gospel of grace. Look at Romans 2 and 16. Let me show you this one. Look at Romans 2 and 16. And this throws people. It says, this is Paul writing. He said, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Paul's gospel is mentioned three times. What gospel is that? The only gospel he preached, the gospel of Jesus Christ. He said over and over and over again, we just read it. He said he came to prepare to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. That was his gospel. It was not another gospel. He spoke against that in the book of Galatians. It was not a new gospel. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ that God committed to him to preach. It's the gospel of grace. If you're sitting here saved this morning, on your way home to heaven, it's because at some time in your life you believed the gospel. Man, I believe in the church. We need a church. We need the church more than the church needs us. Thank God for you. Brother said this morning, it's good to see new people come in, new faces. Thank God for you. But we need the church. I had a man call me this morning wanting to book me for a meeting. Never met him before in my life. I said, I appreciate you turning my call. He said, brother, he said, I know that church you come from. He said, that's all that needs to be said. Thank God for the church. Thank God for a pastor. Thank God for you. We need the church, but being a member of the church will never save your soul. Never. It can't be done. Water baptism is an ordinance. If you are born again and you've never been baptized, you need to be baptized as a sign to this world, an outward sign of an inward change. But it's not going to save your soul. Believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ, placing your faith and trust in that man for your soul salvation is the only way you can be saved. Somebody in the Philippines, if they're saved today, you know how they're going to be saved. They're going to believe the gospel.
Yep.
Somebody in Africa, if Brother Caden Head leads a man or a woman or a child to the Lord today, you know how they're going to be saved? By believing the gospel.
Right.
Brother Ben and Miss Jean up there fighting that weather in Alaska years ago, if anyone got saved, you know how they got saved? By believing the gospel.
Right.
You go to work tomorrow and someone's under conviction, they come to you, you talk to them and you lead them to the Lord, you know how they're going to be saved? By believing the gospel. That's how straight and narrow it is. People say, oh, you're so narrow-minded. I am just that narrow-minded. You're right. I am just that narrow-minded. But look at verse number 2, what it says about this. It says, verse number 1 is speaking of the gospel of God. Verse number 2 says, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. You go back and read Psalms 22, the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And speaking of him, in the end of that psalm, it talks about him being resurrected and having power. You read Isaiah 53. It speaks about the suffering of the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. The end of that chapter is speaking of him being raised up and given power. It was spoken of, this gospel, afore in the Scriptures. If it's in this book, you can believe it. Some men have it wrongly divided. Some people have it wrong. They teach wrong things out of the Scripture. But those things are of men. It's not of this book. This book is wrong. If there's a mistake, It's always you or I. It's not that book.
No,
if there's something going wrong, it's never God. It's always you or I.
Right.
This gospel was spoken of, according to verse number 2, before in the scriptures. And look at verse number 3. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's only one. There's only one born of a virgin.
Yep.
There's only one sinless. You know, we blow that pretty early, right? First time we in a nursery and crawl over and another baby takes a toy and we bite him. We have blown that, son. They may not understand, but it doesn't take them very long to understand what they're doing is wrong. He was the only one that was sinless. He was the only one that met the qualifications.
Right.
He was the only one that could be the Lamb. He's the only one that can hang on that cross and shed his blood and give his life and be raised up the third day. He's the only one. There is no other. All these men all over this world that are saying they are Christ, they're liars. They are liars. This gospel, according to verse number 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ. So we want to look at a couple of things about this gospel and how you receive it. It'd be detrimental if you knew there was a solution, there was an antidote, but you didn't know how to get a hold of it, wouldn't it? Look, first thing I want to see is that the gospel is the beginning. Look at verse number 16. Bible says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone." Everyone. Everyone. That thief, crook, liar down in the prison, if he'll receive this gospel, he'll be saved. Does that mean the door's going to fly and he's going to walk out? Probably not. Right? You got to give account for the things you do in this old body. Probably shouldn't. But if he believes that gospel, they can be saved. The worst enemy you have in this old world, they believe that gospel and they're lost, they'll be saved. The biggest lying, thieving crook there is, if they believe that gospel, they'll be saved. It doesn't matter what their skin color is, if they'll believe that gospel, they shall be saved, the Bible says. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." That's everybody. If you are not a Jew, you are considered a Greek, considered a Gentile. Look at verse 17. "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." The gospel is the beginning. You are not redeemed before you believe the gospel. The price has been paid, but you must receive it. The gift is available, but you must receive it. We just got through Christmas. And everybody likes the presents. I like the presents. We can't wait. We normally start opening presents about a week before Christmas, amen? And we don't leave them sitting under the tree. We get them all out and we open them all up. That's the way salvation is. The price has been paid. Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, He paid the price. The price has been paid. But we're going to see in a little bit, according to the Bible, you must receive it. Redemption. Justification. You're not justified in your own works, in your own self. Justification comes after the gospel. Liberty. People wanting to be at liberty, wanting to be free. Deliverance. Sound like T.D. Jakes? Now I won't be delivered. Hey, amen. Victory. Who doesn't want victory in their life? We all want to be victorious. Peace. This world's in a mess.
You're
right. It's just awful. It's upside down, and this one's fighting that one, and right's being called wrong, and wrong's being called right, and people got a majority. They can't even elect a stinking leader, and They probably shouldn't, because he's a devil too. I don't know what the solution is, but this world's upside down. But you and I can have peace, not in this old world, but after we believe the gospel and we're born again, no matter what those situations are, those circumstances are, you can have peace in your heart, in your life. It comes after salvation. Joy. Joy. Not just happiness. Thank God for being happy. I'm talking about joy. Happiness will float up and down with your circumstances, amen. But joy is something that's on the inside. Joy is something that's in Jesus Christ. Your pockets is full of money. The lost people in this world can be happy. But that's also the same ones as hanging themselves and jumping off of bridges, amen. You cut your news feed on your phone or whatever you watch on television and someone else that's famous, or, and that's the only reason they're on television, because they're rich and famous, amen. Poor people do it too. But they're rich and famous and seemingly have everything this world has to offer. Seem like, according to the world, they are on the mountaintop and they have committed suicide. Why? If they had everything, like the world says they do, why would they commit suicide? Sometimes it may be related to mental illness. That's the thing. Sometimes we bring that mental illness on ourselves because we reject God and His Word. All these things, and we're going to talk about some of them in the chapters to come, all these things begin when you believe the gospel. The gospel. This is my thing with the Blackfeet. The gospel saves souls. That's the most important thing. That your soul be saved. That's the part of you that's going to live forever. Your soul be saved. But the gospel not only saves souls, the gospel changes lives. Well, brother, I don't know. Look at yourself before you got saved and look at yourself after you got saved. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I'm talking about there should be a change in your life. You're not the same person after you believe the gospel that you were before you believed the gospel. You don't go to the same places. You don't think the same way. You don't do the same things. Why? Something happened. And it wasn't reformation. It was the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So we see that the gospel is the beginning. Not only that, this gospel of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel that saved your soul, it, according to the Bible, must be received by faith. That's the only way to receive the gospel is to believe. Hold your place here. We're going to come back here and look some more. But turn to John chapter 1. The gospel according to John chapter number 1. The gospel must be received by faith. Familiar scripture, but look at John chapter 1. Look at verse number 11. The Bible says he came into his own. Who are his own? This is speaking of Jesus Christ, the Word of God. His own were the Jews. He was born of a Jew. He came into his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Receive power. That's what the verse says, right? To them gave he power. Now look back at Romans chapter 1, verse number 16. This is how you study your Bible, cross-referencing things, right? Look at Romans 1 and 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God. The power of God is the gospel. When you believe on Jesus Christ, he gives you the power to become the sons of God. Now, this is redneck theology. Y'all ready for this? Some of y'all understand this. Y'all understand nothing I said. Y'all get this, won't you? If you become something, then you are not that thing. That's profound, ain't it? If you become something, you are not that thing. What you getting at? Some people tell you we're all the children of God. We're all God's little children. According to the Bible, Jesus told them bunch of Jews, he said, ye are of your father, the devil.
Yep.
Now, that's, you ain't going to get no TV show with that, amen. But it's the truth.
Yep.
We are not all the children of God. But when you believe that gospel, you know what you are. You go from being a child of wrath to a child of the King, amen. You don't have to take a class. You don't have to get certification. You don't have to pay, you don't have to pass a test. Peter was walking on that water, and he took his eyes off Jesus Christ and began to sink. And that's what the book of Matthew said. And he cried out. Mm-hmm. He said, Lord, save me.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus didn't say, boy, you ain't got time to take no class. The Bible says he stretched out his hand immediately. Immediately. Remember where you were when you got saved? I remember exactly where I was. I was in my house in a little old town in McFarland, North Carolina. Most people can't find that thing on a map. God knew exactly where I was. And the instant, he ain't wait till it's midnight on Sunday night. He ain't wait till Monday morning. He ain't wait till I got to church on Wednesday. When I cried out, called on his name, instantly he saved my soul. And if you're here saved this morning, it was the same way with you. May have been a different circumstance, may have been a different place. Sure, it was a different place. But the instant you called out on Jesus Christ, he saved your soul. Receive it by faith. Turn to Acts 16. Acts chapter 16. You know what? The Bible will clear up a whole lot of confusion.
That's right.
It'll clear up a whole lot of schisms. It'll clear up a whole lot of isms. That fog of doubt that's in people's mind, if they'll read this old King James Bible and believe that thing, it'll just burn all that fog away. Does that mean we're going to know everything? No, we're not on this side. But it sure would help if people would read this Bible and believe this Bible.
Right.
Look at Acts chapter 16. Look at verse number... we'll start verse number 29. This is Paul and Silas. They're in prison and the doors are open. This Philippian jailer, he is about to kill himself. Look at verse 29. It says, then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. This is the jailer. It says, and he brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. That clears up a whole lot of confusion as far as what salvation is, doesn't it? Camelot tell you got to get in that water and get baptized. That's not what that verse says. If that's the case, then the Apostle Paul was a liar, wasn't he? He'd have said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and let me get you in this water. He was baptized later on, amen, but that was after salvation.
Right.
He asked a straightforward, simple question. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? And Paul gave him a simple, straightforward answer. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
That's how simple it is. The gospel must be received by faith. I heard a man say this one time and it's always stuck with me. The cross of Jesus Christ. Man, that's probably the most despised thing in the world.
Right.
People love to talk about God and praying to God, and you ask them who God is, and it's somebody in their own mind, and it's a good force versus a bad force. No. The cross of Jesus Christ is probably the most despised thing in this world. I heard a man say this. He said, the cross is so despised because it leaves no room for man's achievements. You can't add anything to it.
Nope.
You can't take anything away. You can try, but you'll never take anything away from that cross.
That's right. Yep.
Those pharaohs in Egypt, they built those giant pyramids. I'd like to see them dudes one day. Big old giant pyramids to test. You know what they're doing? Doing something. Men doing things to be saved. Men doing things to get to God. Men doing things to get to heaven. The cross of Jesus Christ is so despised because it leaves no room for man's achievements. The gospel is the beginning. The gospel must be received by faith. The gospel, according to the Bible, is for everyone. If any man, woman, or child will repent and turn to Jesus Christ in faith, they shall be saved. Hold your place here. We'll be coming back. Hold your place in Romans 1. We'll be coming back. But look with me in Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2. Bible says Jesus Christ came into his own, right? He'd been dealing with the Jews for thousands of years, and he gave them some legal codes. It was the law, and if they would believe in God and keep this law, they could be saved, right? There was a wall there, a partition between them and other people. Now, if those other people wanted to be saved, they had to come in and be a part of what the Jews had going on. It was a wall, is the way the Bible describes it. Look at Ephesians 2. Look at verse number 11. Bible says, wherefore remember that ye, being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. That's a sound like a terrible place to be, don't it? Without hope, no God, no way to get at. Terrible place to be, doesn't it? Look at verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, the Jew and the Gentile. He's made them both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God and one in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. Yes. And came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to them that were nigh. There was a times when the Jew and the Gentiles, they were separated, but Jesus Christ came. He hung on that cross. He shed his blood. He gave his life. He was raised the third day. And friend, I don't care if your name is Goldberg or Smith or Ukawunde or many white horses. I don't care what your name is. If you're going to get into that body of Christ, you're going to believe that gospel and believe in Jesus Christ, or you ain't getting in. And when I say ain't, things is getting serious. You can't get in any other way. Jesus Christ in his flesh tore that wall down. The Jews, the Gentiles, the Bible says, whosoever, let her come take of this water of life freely. Whosoever. So we see that the gospel is for everyone. That's why one of our things with our mission program, the sun never sets on our mission program. Just never does. The sun never sets on our church being a part of getting the gospel to the people of this world. When the sun's down here, it's up on the other side of the world. People we support are preaching the gospel It never says. The gospel is for everyone. The gospel, listen to me, does not involve works. There's a lot of people that believe you have to do some kind of work to be saved. Or, listen to me, if you are saved, you have to do some kind of work to stay saved. And they've taken a biblical principle of having good works in your life and mixed it in with salvation. According to the Bible, it's not like that. If anybody's going to walk right and look right and talk right and believe right and be kind and have grace, it ought to be God's people. Do y'all agree with that? Everybody say amen.
Amen.
It should be God's people. But we're not doing that to be saved. We're doing that because we are saved. You know, I'm still kind of mean. I don't want to be. And God convicts me, and I'll get a little bit softer and a little bit kinder every now and then. But you should have seen me before the Lord saved my soul. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. Look here. Look at verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace are you saved through faith. You believed in Jesus Christ, believed in His gospel, and you got saved by the grace of God. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." You know what you did? You took your little bit of faith you had that ain't enough to get saved by. And you believed in Jesus Christ. He gave you everything you need to be saved. Look at verse number 9. "Not of works, lest any man should boast." If there was any fog there, the Holy Ghost should just blow that thing away right there. Say, by grace through faith, not of works. Well, I can't be good enough to be saved. You are nigh unto salvation. You are absolutely right. You can't muster up enough faith to save your soul. But what you have, if you know you're lost and you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, if you'll take that little bit of faith you have and you'll place it in Jesus Christ, He will save your soul. People want to worry about having enough faith to cast a mountain into the sea. Don't you think God put that mountain where He wanted it? We're trying to muster up faith. Our faith, to put our faith in ourselves. When we put it in Jesus Christ, He'd give you more faith. You knew what to do with it.
Yes, right.
You get to traveling and going. And one thing I have learned, been learning this for years, and it's an ongoing lesson. Man, you can't outgive God.
No.
If God wants you to do it, and it's plain and it's clear, I don't care what it is.
That's right.
If it's of God, He'll bring it to pass if you trust Him. "For by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Look at verse number 10. "For we are His workmanship, created" what? "In Christ Jesus unto good works." So what came first? The salvation or the good works? The salvation came first, right? The gospel came first, then all these other things got to come in behind it. "Before ordained that we should walk in them." You should have good works abounding in your life if you're born again by the grace of God. But you should have those works because you're born again, not trying to be saved. Everybody in this world trying to be something they can't be. Look at, turn to Romans chapter 1 with me. Let me show you something. Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 5. Romans chapter number 5. Oh, I'm sorry. Romans 1, verse number 5. The Bible says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name. And some will say, well, there you go. You have to be obedient. Faith, you have to, and the Bible speaks of obeying the gospel. You have to obey the gospel. There's obedience. There's things that you have to do. And say there's works that you have to do in order to be obedient to this gospel and be saved. Turn to Romans chapter 16. They asked Jesus one time, they said, we'll do the works of God. Jesus said, the works of God, if you want to do the works of God is that you believe on him whom he has sent. You want to do the works of God, believe on Jesus Christ. Look at Romans 16, look at verse number 25. The Bible says, now to him that is a power to establish you according to my gospel. See what it says? My gospel. The gospel of Christ and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began but now was made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. You know what the obedience of faith is? That verse just says believe in that gospel.
Yeah.
Don't let someone confuse you. Don't let someone tell you that there's works you have to do to be saved, to obey the gospel and obey, be obedient to the faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ is what you must do to be saved. It's not works. It's by faith. Turn to Romans 10. Romans 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Romans chapter number 10. Look at verse 16. First says, well, they have not all obeyed the gospel. Here we're talking about obeying the gospel, right? Obedience to, what is obedience to the gospel? What must be done to obey the gospel? For Isaiah says, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You know what obeying the gospel is? Believe in the report, man. Believe in what the book says. Believe in the gospel. Believing in Jesus Christ. Sirs, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. I talk to so many people, and they're hoping that they're making. I talked to a man the other day. He said, if I don't make it to heaven, it ain't going to be because I ain't tried. Salvation does not involve your works.
That's right.
Turn back to Romans chapter 1 with me. The gospel by faith, this gospel, it is the righteousness of God. He is a righteous God. You know, everybody and their mama want justice. You don't want justice?
No way.
The just thing would be that you have sinned against God, therefore you deserve hell.
That's right.
But a just God maintains his justice by sending his only begotten Son that had never sinned to give his life a substitutionary atonement, a substitute in our place. He hung on that cross, he shed his blood, he gave his life, he died, he was raised the third day. That gospel, when we believe it, allows God to save our soul and still be a just God. This gospel is the righteousness of God. Hold your place right here in your hand. Don't put a marker. Hold it in your hand. And turn with me to the book of Habakkuk. Uh-oh, preacher. Man, it's in there somewhere. You get in them minor prophets and fumble around a little bit and you'll run up on him. It's about four or five books into your Old Testament from the back. It's right before Zephaniah and Haggai and Zechariah and Malachi. What does that make it? The fifth book from the back of your Old Testament. It's important that everyone sees this. Please make an effort to try to find it. I want to show you something. There's people that will tell you that there's errors in this old King James Bible. That men got involved with it and men translated, and there's errors and there's mistranslations and there's this and there's that. There is no error in this Bible. Zero. None. There you go being narrow-minded again. Look at Habakkuk chapter 2, verse number 4. The Bible says, "Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith." Does everyone see that? The just, according to Habakkuk, this prophet of God, he says, "The just shall live by his faith." That psalmist said, "Lord, judge me according to my righteousness." That's what the psalmist said. So the just is living by his faith. Now look with me in Romans chapter number 1. Look at verse number 17. The Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith," from that Old Testament faith to this New Testament faith. "It's revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith."
That's right.
You say, well, there you have it. There you have it. Something's printed wrong. That word's missing. It's a mistranslation. God said exactly what he wanted to say. That Old Testament saint had to believe in God and maintain the works of that law, or his righteousness would not be counted. You know what you have to do to be saved, to be declared righteous? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. It didn't say that we live by our faith. We live by faith. Turn to Galatians chapter 2. We're going to wrap this thing up right here. Galatians chapter number 2. We live by faith. That Old Testament saint had to live by his faith. I thank God I don't have to live by my faith. My faith gets shaken. My faith gets weak.
Right.
Friend of mine says, "I couldn't keep myself saved 5 minutes. That's about how long we can keep ourselves saved, 5 minutes. Look at Galatians 2, verse number 20. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me." He didn't say by faith in the Son of God, of the Son of God. You know what you do? You come to Jesus Christ as a wretched, low-down, miserable sinner, and you cry out for mercy and God, and believe that gospel, and God in his grace saves your soul, and he gives you the faith to live by. You're no longer walking by your faith and living by your faith. You are walking and living your life in this flesh by the faith of the Son of God. His faith, amen. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Romans 1:17, right? One more verse. Turn to 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21. You know why we stumble and fall and struggle so bad? Because we're walking by our faith. What we can see, what we can believe, what we can lay our hands on, what we can put in the bank, what we can understand with our minds. and we're not surrendering and turning our life over, all of it, our life, our wife, our children, our finances, our job, our church, our worship, we're not turning it all over to God and living by the faith of Jesus Christ like He wants us to.
Right.
He gives it to us, and man, we take ours back. He's trying to give you a Chevrolet. You won't give that old Ford up, amen? No, that ain't right. Look at 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 21. The Bible says, "For He hath made Him to be sin for us who knew no sin." Who was that? Jesus Christ. Only one that can be, the one that knew no sin.
Yep.
"That we might be made the righteousness of God in Him."
Amen.
The only way you can be saved is to believe the gospel and receive the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ. Ours isn't enough. How do you receive it? Receive it by faith, man. If you got... that much. If you know you're lost and know you need to be saved, you need to be like that man that son was head up with the devils. He said, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." If you come to Jesus Christ with a true heart in repentance, I promise you, if you're willing to receive Him by faith, He will not turn you away. Gospel by faith, amen.
Amen.
Brother Chris, you close us in prayer, brother.